Younger. Smarter. Better. FM Talk KKFT FM 99.1 is FM Talk for Smith and Mason Valley. 92.3 FM Talk KKFT.
Good morning, Northern Nevada. Welcome back, my friends. I'm John Potter. I often just have opinions without thinking. It's kind of what I do for a living, and so I have done that all my life. I was out last night at a party, and some people were asking about the backyard videos that I used to do. They were these 12, 15-minute talks on, just about what I'm doing here, current events, local events, a lot of humor. And they were once or twice a month on my KTVN Facebook page, but they cut my access to that, so I don't have a place to do them. I have a private Facebook page, but it has little exposure. It really gets lost in the sea of all the other John Potter Facebook pages we have in the world. But somebody asked me at this party, why don't you do what you did on TikTok? I've been asked that before, and I've thought about it, but I feel that like me being on TikTok now, I'm 69 years old, would be like me walking into the hottest club in L.A. or Vegas on a Saturday night wearing my senior hipster clothes. And I will hear, no, sir, this club is not for you, which reminds me of my recent visits to Las Vegas. Now, when I lived there in the 80s and 90s, I was in my 30s. I was one of the beautiful people. I'd waltz in to the Botany, the Shark Club, or Cleopatra's Barge at Caesar's Palace. Always get the wave and the smile from the guy behind the ropes. Bouncer would go, John Potter, party of one. You know, they would usher me to a booth. So one visit we made to Las Vegas, it was a year ago. We drove out to Caesar's Palace, parked in valet just like I used to, strolled over to the Cleopatra's Barge, the dance nightclub. I made one step into the club to check it out, and sir, stopped me. He goes, do you have a reservation? No. Reservations? I didn't know what the heck was going on here. I said, isn't this a nightclub? And he goes, no, we've got a private party tonight. I've heard that a lot lately, and I think that is the company line when they don't want to offend the oldsters. We've got a private party tonight. I said, a private party on a Saturday? I couldn't believe somebody rented this out on a Saturday. I said, I used to come here all the time, every weekend when I was at Channel 13. And his face lights up and he goes, oh, are you on TV there? I said, no, I used to be. And he goes, yeah, private party, nothing we can do. And my wife is saying, let's go. This is embarrassing. So we go back to valet. Takes 20 minutes to get the car. I overpay the valet guy. We get in and we get back on the strip. And Kathy goes, ah, you know, you told me all these stories about how everybody knew you here. You're not so famous. It's just another event that brings me back down to earth, you know. Now it's a 45-minute wait at the Cheesecake Factory. Yeah, sure, I'll wait. I mean, you have to make concessions to age, because really, the best you can do is to do a good version of who you were at the time. And that's really all you can do. I do have, besides the personal Facebook, which, you know, there's nothing much there. I do have an email. It's weekend@evansbroadcast.com. But I received this email on my personal address. And I actually want to thank Senator Jackie Rosen's office. What? Yes. I say thank you, Jackie Rosen, for the excellent senior guide. It's like over 80 pages of every government and charity office that is there to serve seniors. Did you get that email with the PDF attachment? I do not subscribe in any way to Jackie Rosen's office, but I got it. I think it was sent to, I would think, every senior in Nevada. You know, they have probably all our information. And I was bothered at first, and then I went through the senior guide of statewide agencies and nonprofits. I was, to be honest, you know, Jackie Rosen's office, I was expecting like a lot of left-wing Democrat organizations listed, you know, like you would expect from Nevada's own Pelosi. But no, it's actually quite good to hang on to. Must have taken a lot of work. The only issue I have with it is every single agency is listed with a phone number only. And not their websites or even emails, just the phone numbers. Like, you know, we used to contact government by phone in the old days, remember? Very few are listed with their emails. All of them just phone numbers. And as we know now, hardly anyone, especially government, hardly anybody answers their phone now. Most large companies now, there's very little help by phone. They don't want you calling. Sorry, I've been having major issues with them, and this is aside from government, but oh my gosh, I got issues with Senior Care Plus, issues with Kellogg's, of all people, long story, medical equipment company, there's a winery subscription I can't cancel, I have handymen and junk removal places that don't call back, you know, there's voicemail, of course, but do they? No. There are the usual shenanigans at Spectrum and the bank, of course. Always an issue with a bank. So you are not alone. And an excellent email I received this week, and this is referring to, well, actually, I think every show I say something on public education, and Vince wrote in, and by the way, again, email weekend at evansbroadcast.com, a quote. This is Vince. And by the way, this guy has a lot to say. Quote about education. How stupid are we? We took shop class out of schools about 30 years ago. We told a whole generation of kids what was important. Forget the trades. Don't even look at it and get a four-year degree. We guided them straight into the most expensive path where they could be gaslighted and taught to hate their own country. Now we sit here 30 years later, millions with college degrees, they can't pay back the loans, and millions of job openings with nobody to fill them. Millions of kids not trained for the opportunities that are available to them. There's a huge skills gap. Now our politicians, the elitists, want to, have to, open the borders to keep their low-cost labor and skill sets in play. I won't even talk about the side benefit of future registered voters turning Nevada blue. Yes, we are that stupid. That's not me. That's Vince. That's that guy over there. This guy sounds smart. Vince, thank you. And besides Nevada, I'll add turning Texas and Arizona blue. Yeah. Yeah. If it hasn't happened already, it's headed that way. I have some examples to go along with that, sir. I know one mom whose son took up some training for HVAC, you know, heater, air conditioning, and plumbing, and was immediately hired on by the company he did his co-op with, and is now making what she calls insane money and working upwards of 70 hours per week, and is motivated, loves the job because he's still learning so much, has his own company van and 401k. He is so motivated. There is as much work as he wants, no college debt. The trades need to be promoted more in high school, in my opinion. My high school, we had shop class and home ec, but they were kind of treated as, you know, hobbies to learn, not your future. A career in the blue-collar trades wasn't even mentioned when I was growing up. In senior class, the principal met each of us individually and would talk about our college chances individually. The C students were referred to the two-year community colleges. And today, I think many people who have a college degree think their education is complete, and they expect to make top dollar immediately, and it's just not there. Also, folks, we had a terrible loss in Reno about a week ago that did not get a lot of coverage. SR-71 pilot, retired U.S. Air Force Major Brian Shull, died in Reno from cardiac arrest the Friday before last at the age of 75. It happened right after he spoke at the Nevada Military Support Alliance annual gala. Brian had a fascinating history flying our military jets. I met him years ago at the Reno Air Races. Brian was a courageous man who fought his way back from a debilitating plane crash in 1973 to reach his ultimate goal, and that is flying the fastest airplane ever built, the SR-71 stealth fighter plane. Now, don't correct me, because at the time of the SR-71, yes, it was the fastest plane ever built in the world. That there might be a faster plane now, but back then, it was the fastest. The long-range, high-altitude, Mach 3-plus strategic reconnaissance aircraft known as the Blackbird. It can even outrun surface-to-air missiles. But he's even more well-known for his speed check story. I read this last night with the biggest smile on my face, and I've got to say, Brian was as good a writer as he was a pilot. So we're going to take a break, and then if you'll indulge me for 4 minutes here, I promise you will get a major kick out of it too. Speed check story. That's coming up. We do have tickets to give away. I keep putting that off, don't I? But they're coming up between now and noon. So stick around. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
Good morning, Northern Nevada. Welcome back, my friends. John Potter here with Craig in Carson City, taking your phone calls in the order they came in or come in. Okay, I was just notified that they closed a Cleopatra's barge at Caesars a year ago. So there you go. They decided to close instead of letting me in. I know. There's too many old folks coming by, I guess. Okay. Once again, U.S. Air Force Major Brian Shull died in Reno the Friday before last. He was 75. He died after he spoke at the Nevada Military Support Alliance annual gala. The man was an encyclopedia about flying our military jets. I met him years ago at the Reno Air Races, and his goal in life was to fly the Blackbird, and he did, the SR-71 stealth fighter plan. And he is the author of the Speed Check Story, which in military circles is a famous, legendary story. So from what I say here on out for the next 4 minutes is not from me. It's from Brian Shull, U.S. Air Force Major. Here we go. There were a lot of things we could not do in a stealth SR-71, but we were the fastest guys on the block and loved reminding our fellow aviators of that fact. People often asked us if it was fun to fly the jet. Fun would not be the first word I would use to describe flying this plane. Intense, maybe, even cerebral. But there was one day when we would have to say that it was pure fun to be the fastest guys out there, at least for the moment. It occurred when my co-pilot Walt and I were flying our final training flight. We needed 100 hours in the jet to complete our training and attain mission-ready status. Somewhere over Colorado, we passed the century mark. We made the turn in Arizona, and the jet was performing flawlessly. My gauges were wired in the front seat, and we were starting to feel pretty good about ourselves, not only because we would soon be flying real missions, but because we had gained a great deal of confidence in the plane in the past 10 months. Ripping across the barren deserts 80,000 feet below us, I could actually already see the coast of California from the Arizona border. I was finally, after many humbling months of simulators and study, ahead of the jet. I was beginning to feel a bit sorry for Walter in the back seat. There he was, with no real good view of the incredible sights before us, as he monitored 4 different radios. This was good practice for him when we began flying real missions, when a priority transmission from headquarters could be vital. It was difficult, too, for me to relinquish control of the radios, as during my entire flying career, I had controlled my own transmissions. But it was part of the division of duties in this plane, and I had to adjust to it. I still insisted on talking on the radio while we were on the ground, however. Walt was so good at many things, but he could not match my expertise at sounding smooth on the radios, a skill that had been honed sharply with years in fighter squadrons, where the slightest radio miscue was grounds for beheading. He understood that and allowed me that luxury. Just to get a sense of what Walt had to contend with, I pulled the radio toggle switches and monitored the frequencies along with him. The predominant radio chatter was from Los Angeles Center, far below us, controlling daily traffic in their sector. While they had us on their scope, briefly due to our speed, we were in uncontrolled airspace and normally would not talk to them unless we needed to descend into their airspace. We listened as the shaky voice of a lone Cessna pilot asked LA Center for a readout of his ground speed. Center replied, "November Charlie, 175. I'm showing you at 90 knots on the ground." Now, the thing to understand about center controllers was that whether they were talking to a rookie pilot in a Cessna or to Air Force One, they always spoke in the same exact, calm, deep, professional tone that made one feel important. I refer to it as the Houston center voice. I have always felt that after years of seeing documentaries on the country's space program and listening to the calm and distinct voice of the Houston controllers, that all other controllers since then wanted to sound just like that, and that they basically did. It didn't matter what sector of the country we'd be flying in. It always seemed like the same guy was talking. Over the years, that tone of voice had become somewhat of a comforting sound to pilots everywhere. Conversely, over the years, pilots always wanted to, when transmitting, sound like Chuck Yeager, or at least like John Wayne. Better to die than sound bad on the radios. Just moments after the Cessna's inquiry, a Twin Beach piped up on frequency in a rather superior tone, asking for his ground speed. "I have you at 125 knots of ground speed." Boy, I thought, that Beechcraft really must think he is dazzling his Cessna brethren. Then out of the blue, a Navy F-18 pilot came up on frequency. You knew right away it was a Navy jock because he sounded very cool on the radio. He said, "Center, Dusty 52 ground speed check." And before Center could reply, I'm thinking to myself, hey, Dusty 52 has a ground speed indicator in that million-dollar cockpit, so why is he asking Center for a readout? And then I got it. Old Dusty was making sure that every bug smasher from Mount Whitney to the Mojave knows what true speed is. He's the fastest dude in the valley today, and he just wants everyone to know how much fun he is having in his new Hornet. And the reply, always with that same calm voice, came back with, "Dusty 52 Center, we have you at 620 on the ground." And I thought to myself, is this a ripe situation or what? As my hand instinctively reached for that mic button, I had to remind myself that Walt was in control of the radios. Still, I thought, it must be done. In mere seconds, we're going to be out of the sector and the opportunity will be lost. That Hornet must die and die now. I thought about all our sim training and how important it was that we developed well as a crew and knew that to jump in on the radios now would destroy the integrity of all that we had worked toward becoming. So I was torn. Here I was, 13 miles above Arizona, screaming inside my space helmet, and then I heard it. The click of the mic button from the back seat. And that was the very moment that I knew Walter and I had become a crew. Very professionally and with no emotion, Walter spoke, "Los Angeles Center, Aspen 20, can you give us a ground speed check?" There was no hesitation, and the reply came as if it was an everyday request. "Aspen 20, I show you at 1,842 knots across the ground. So accurate and proud was Center to deliver that information without hesitation, you just knew he was smiling. But the precise point at which I knew that Walt and I were going to be really good friends for a long time was when he keyed the mic once again to say in his most fighter pilot-like voice, Center, much thanks. We're showing closer to 1,900 on the money. For a moment, Walter was a god, and we finally heard a little crack in the armor of the Houston Center voice when L.A. came back with, Roger that, Aspen. Your equipment is probably more accurate than ours. You boys have a good one. It all had lasted just moments, but in that short, memorable sprint across the Southwest, the Navy had been flamed. All mortal airplanes on frequency were forced to bow before the King of Speed. And more importantly, Walter and I had crossed the threshold of being a crew. A fine day's work. I know nothing about flying a military plane, but that, my friends, is great writing. All right, we're going to be back. Big topic here, Backcountry Festival. We have tickets to give away, and they are our guests up next. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Fox News time is 10:30.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
I missed the last paragraph of the speed check story, so Major Shaw wrote this. We never heard another transmission on that frequency all the way to the coast for one day. For just one day, it truly was fun being the fastest guys out there. That is living. Major Shaw. Unrestricted climb approved by me. Over and out. I'm John Potter. This is Live and Local. It's called The Weekend each and every Saturday morning, 9 to noon at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. I have a great accomplishment to announce. Just yesterday, after 40-some years, I have stopped typing www when I go to websites. Now, that deserves applause if you know anything about me. You know that's a big accomplishment for me. I just have it, you know? Thank you. Very good. You don't have to type www. Now, apparently this happened years ago. I was never told, and then, you know, I had to get used to it. I still, though, sometimes have that lady telling me I have to dial 775 before I call the guy down the street. I've also learned, this is a big one to me, to love gardening. I was mainly a townhouse man until I met my wife, who has this massive park in the backyard. Not yard, it's a park. And when things got serious and we married, I thought, oh, you know what? I'll worry about it when I have to. And, you know, we've been together 5 years now, and it's been 5 years of drudgery. I dreaded the work in the yard. But now we love strolling garden shops, and I found out the drink holders in the truck are actually good plant holders. I'll tell you the secret to loving gardening. It's to not be in any kind of rush and don't even look at the clock. You do it casually and slowly, and you begin to love it. Okay, so the Backcountry Festival is a very big deal, and that's why we have on the phone with us. No, okay, that's somebody else. John. John is calling from Wellington. Hey, John, welcome to 99.1 FM Talk.
Is that you, John?
Yes, sir, it is.
This is Mick down in Wellington.
Hi, Mick.
No problem. Hey, just a little add-on to your SR story there. I was in Oakland Center air traffic controller in the middle 70s, so all throughout the 70s, and the SRs were based at Beale Air Force Base at Marysville, and we had to work them both going out and the returns. Going out, they used to climb to about 25, 27,000 feet up over Lovelock and meet a tanker to fuel up. Wow. And go on their mission over the Great Lakes or wherever they were going. And in our recovery was coming back north of Pyramid Lake, and they had to go from above 60,000 and get down on the ground to Beale, and it was quite an event. bringing them home at that speed and across our J5 airway that ran from L.A. to Seattle, Portland. It came right up over the top of Reno, and to weave that rascal through all our jet traffic at those altitudes of 35, 33 and all those through there. It was quite an event back in those days. So
I can tell by listening to you that you still you miss it. You miss it, don't you?
It was quite an event working those babies. They also had early on in the early 70s, they had a squadron out of Edwards Air Force Base. The ones at Beale went by the call sign Aspen, and the ones out of Edwards went by Dutch. And they were going to try to make a fighter interceptor out of them, but they went too fast. So they reverted to the reconnaissance version out of Beale, and they stayed with that all those years. But they were really, really quite an amazing something to watch go across the radar scope, because they went in leaps. When they went above 60,000 feet, we went to a 5,000-foot separation because we had a few U-2s flying around at that altitude in those days. So it was interesting, to say the least. But I thought I'd pass that along.
Yeah. Did you like the story?
Oh, I loved it. Yep, you bet.
Yeah, I did, too.
Well, I'm sure I worked that gentleman on the radio, so...
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, passed away in Reno, of all places. All right, sir.
Well, if you look back now, that's 50 years ago, so.
50, yes. Yes, it was.
Yep.
Thank you. I appreciate the call, my friend.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Yeah. They had that big announcement from Ron DeSantis Tuesday night, I believe. Unfortunate that the technical problems occurred. And interesting that the technical problems did occur, if you get my drift. Technical problems in a professional operation, they don't just happen. The technology really is not that complex. You understand what you're going to do, and so you practice it and you rehearse it. And I'll be honest with you, we've gotten into a point in our society where we're so suspicious that on Wednesday, when I heard that there have been difficulties in the announcement coming off, I half suspected sabotage, right? And I wouldn't say that it's out of the question. Twitter transmits daily around the clock and around the world in numbers which have never been known before. That this one simple audio connection would go wrong in a persistent fashion is, like I said, a heck of a coincidence. So here's what I think is going to happen. Got the race developing here. What's going to happen is in the media, in the press, relative to Republicans who have announced that they want to run for president, I believe that the media will continue to do what it's done to Nikki Haley and Tim Scott, and that is completely ignore them, right? Completely ignore them. And since Nikki Haley announced her candidacy for the presidency, have you hardly ever seen her? Right, almost never. And she's campaigning at a pretty consistent pace. Tim Scott launched this week. And in both of these candidacies, you have some history being made. And in both of these candidacies, you have some pretty competent and accomplished people involved. And yet they have immediately been consigned to invisibility by the comrade journalists. I predict that the attention focused on Ron DeSantis is going to be persistently negative. The plan is, I guess, to ignore Haley and Senator Scott and to absolutely damage DeSantis in every way possible. I think that's because the portion of the progressive movement that works in the news media would want Trump to be the Republican candidate, working on their assumption that Trump is probably the one Republican candidate they have the best chance of beating. And he gets good viewing ratings, too. And not only that, I feel that Trump fits their narrative of the media that the Democrats and the press want to perpetuate, and that Republicans are, you know, extreme mega Republicans. We're all that way. And that the Republicans are racists and homophobes and whatever other kind of phobe they want to throw at you. But it's essential in the progressive movement to absolutely vilify and marginalize folks who would be called conservatives or Republicans. They want to savage them so much that people recoil from these candidates. And, you know, it's easier to do that with Trump than with Tim Scott and or Nikki Haley, who, in fact, are very decent and very intelligent people. And if you were to listen to them, even if you said, no, that's not who I want for president, you'd probably walk away saying, that's nonetheless a very good-hearted and intelligent person, right? Tim Scott and Nikki Haley are reasonable. You'd like them for neighbors. You listen to them and they lift your spirits. You feel better about yourself and your country. And that does not go along with the narrative of most of the people who control our media. So as I said, they will become invisible. DeSantis, who does have some rough edges, you have to get used to him, could be a very good president, but he's sort of at the developmental stages of his career. And as I said, it's a bit hard to get used to him at first. They, the press, are going to play up all those things. They're going to try to damage him in the minds of not just Democrats, but also Republicans. If it were an actual objective, two-sided news media, you would find out where these people stand, and we'd find out about their lives, and we would have the opportunity over the coming months to weigh in on the balance and judge them. Instead, there's going to be that PR spin out there to highlight the miscues and the mistakes, which, you know, they don't do with the president, to make sure that they don't get on the ballot and to make sure that this nation doesn't really have a choice. It's 10:46. Backcountry Festival is going to be checking in, supposed to. Our phone lines in the meantime are open, 775-884-9910. We're going to take a break and be back. This is Live and Local, each and every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk. True.
Just a reminder, folks, April is Procrastination Awareness Month. Darn. When I wrote that last night, I thought, oh, this would be so funny. I'm John Potter. This is Life and Local. It's called The Weekend each and every Saturday, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Is anybody else out there like me still waiting for 10 years now? For the sequel to Brad Pitt in World War Z, what the heck are they waiting for? The original made like $550 million. I mean, I love the movie. I'm sorry. I guess I have a private issue with Paramount. I will just move ahead.
Well, John, one yes. thing about pretty much most 90% of the productions, from my understanding of weekly sitcoms or weekly television shows, period, are on hold because of the writer's strike. They're not even working. They've pretty much shut down.
Yes, true. But however, this movie made $550 million. They've had 10 years. The writer's strike, what, happened a month ago?
I'm still going.
And plus, a World War Z movie writes itself. The zombies just chase you. They chase you.
So, they got their cast from the Congress, right? All 500.
Yes, that's right. Oh, my God, that'd be great. Biden is one of the zombies in World War Z. Heck with those writers striking. Craig, you and I, let's get together here. Okay, somber news that we had another police shooting. A young boy, I haven't really followed the story. He's recovering, and the media has been all over yet another police shooting from somebody who was unarmed. I don't know, was he? I haven't kept up on this, but it's just a constant story that the media just seems to love and latch on. And all I can say is there any career more underappreciated now than the American police officer? The contrast between devoting your life to serve the public good, mostly serving our most ignored and destitute neighborhoods, while at the same time being vilified by cable news and grandstanding politicians looking to make points, it's just amazing to me. I want to ask, where's the body-worn camera footage from when the cops get killed? In 2020, when 265 American police officers were murdered in the line of duty, that video, why wasn't that on the evening news? You know, the grainy, jerky, frantic video that we see from the front of an officer's vest running and fighting in the split-second flash of a muzzle blast. We've seen it time after time as officers have killed suspects. The media dissects it. They slow motion it. They play it over and over and over again, usually only if the cop got it wrong, like if what looked like a gun wasn't a gun, or if the gunman fought back. We get that drilled into our heads. We watch that death repeatedly, but we never see the cops die. We never see the evil in the face of their killers. To understand the treachery and the violence of these attackers, we do see people saluting ambulances, and we see the smiling portraits in uniform, but we don't see the reality. 265 American cops killed in our service in 1 year. More than years past, even way back when we didn't have ambulances or emergency rooms, and we didn't have body-worn cameras. We didn't have an unblinking eye staring death in the face from the center of every officer's chest. We also didn't have a society being told that the cops are the bad guys. Back then, I knew this growing up, long, long time ago, those lies had not been made up yet. Back then, we were smart enough to know that our defenders were our heroes, that those who fight for us deserve support from us, that good guys were good and the bad guys were bad. But those truths are inconvenient for some political forces rejected by the propagandists who have taken over the evening news in the college classrooms, and they need to be rejected. The true story needs to be told by the video. We need to begin releasing the body-worn camera video of police officers being murdered. No story is understood by the telling of just one side, and the reality of policing America is not understood by seeing just half of the videos. Depicting American policing as a war against people of color is best adjusted with truth, visual truth that shows what officers face and how they fall. Video that shows officers as human beings at their most human and vulnerable as their lives are stolen by criminal deeds. That may sound harsh and hurtful, but the truth isn't always easy. The simple fact is that for every video on the evening news of an officer taking a life or shooting somebody unarmed, there are many more never shown of an officer losing a life. And America will never understand what we ask police officers to do until we actually see what we ask officers to face. It's not bagpipes and saluting children. It's back alleys and living rooms and traffic stops and ambushes and bleeding out alone on the side of the road. That's what's currently kept from America's eyes. When you don't tell the whole truth, you unavoidably tell a lie, and by not telling the whole truth of the war against America's law enforcement officers, we're enabling the lie that is told about them and their profession. Let Americans see the last things their officers see. Let them glimpse the evil. Have the media tell both sides of the story. When the politicians and the press, the activists and the actors, the professors and the protesters tell us to hate the police, hey, more people do. And that costs lives of our protectors. Every week, a cop in America is shot and killed, every week on average. And they deserve the respect and some of that outrage that we always hear when others are killed. I have to say it, not because I'm trying to sweet talk my way out of a ticket, by the way, here. It's just another thing that the media does that is just wrong. And finally, like the quote I saw posted on Facebook says, nobody hates bad cops more than good cops. And don't you hate it when they run those videos of the suspect being, you know, killed without the backstory, without what happened before. I mean, you cannot make a decision on guilt or innocence based on the 15-second clip. We don't know what happened before. And I honestly don't trust the media to tell us exactly what happened before. They leave out, of course, a lot of things. And they mischaracterize. I mean, what is gun violence used to be called gang violence. And you never hear that term, gang violence, anymore. I think I went off on that that rap a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Anyway, I'm a man who,
guess what time it is? It's time to give away some tickets to Caroline Ray at the Carson City Nugget tonight. We have 10 pairs to the first 10 people who text in Caroline. And I need your name, full name, and email address on the text. So the first 10 people each get a pair of tickets.
So that text line is our phone line, which is 775-884-9910. Two pair, huh? And two winners.
Yeah, 10 pair of tickets. So 20 tickets to give away, 10, two at a time.
And they have their choice of shows.
They have their choice of shows tonight at 6 or 8 o'clock. And I believe, I'm not 100% certain, but I believe that there's a meet and greet at 5 o'clock in front of the area.
Text Caroline now to the number, folks. Oh, she's so funny on Hollywood Squares.
884-9910.
Yeah. We'll be back in a few minutes, folks.